This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
All right, turn your Bibles with me tonight to James chapter number 1. And we're going to look at verse 19 down to verse number 27. And then we'll go out and have a great time of fellowship together with our guest here tonight. James chapter 1, beginning in verse number 19. I'm going to go ahead and go along with the same theme that we had this morning about the missing link. And so tonight, I'm going to talk about another missing link. And another missing link in the church is listening well. And if the Lord is going to do anything with us and in us, we need to listen well to the Word of God. If you believe that, say amen. And so James is talking about this in this entire section. He's talking about listening well to the Word of God. Listen to verse number 19. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." It's an old King James language word, superfluity, meaning overflowing or great abundance. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," listen, "and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion," James says, "pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world." I want you to be seated. We're going to talk about listening well to the Word of God tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful and grateful for another opportunity to come into your house to hear the Word of God and to fellowship with the saints of God. Father, I pray that you have blessed our time together and help us, Lord, to learn from your Word. I pray, God, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, and we will thank you for it. And all God's people can say, amen. The story of Eric Weinmeier is absolutely amazing. If you were to study his life, you will find that Eric was suffering from blindness by the age of 13 years old. Basically, around the ninth grade, he went blind. But his blindness did not impair him, nor did it keep him from being adventurous, especially when it came to climbing. Eric loved to climb, and he didn't let his handicap hinder him. As a matter of fact, on May 25th, 2001, Eric actually climbed Mount Everest. When you study the history of Mount Everest, you'll find that 90% of the climbers never make it all the way to the top of Mount Everest. Since 1953, there has been over 200 deaths related to people trying to climb Mount Everest. But Eric, even as a blind individual, he made it, and he went all the way to the top. He made it all the way to the top of Mount Everest. I was watching the video again this afternoon of his life and his testimony and him talking about reaching all the way to the top, and it's an amazing story, and I encourage you to go and listen to his own testimony about it. But he made it all the way to the top, and you say, well, Brother David, how does a blind individual make it all the way to the top of Mount Everest? When there's been over 200 people to die from trying, 90% people fail, how did he make it all the way to the top? Well, Eric made it there because he learned to listen well. He listened to the little bell that was on the guide in front of him. They strapped the bell to him, and every time Eric would hear that bell would help guide him in the right direction. He listened to the other teammates around him. They would literally look back and holler, "Death fall to the left," or "Death fall to the right." And Eric listened to their voice. Where he couldn't see, he relied on his other senses to make it up to the top. Not only did he listen to his guide and he listened to his teammates, but he also listened to his tool that he had. And as he would listen to the pickaxe going into the ice, he knew that that was secure, where he could put his weight down on it and climb a little higher. He learned to listen well. And amazingly, a blind individual overcomes the challenges of life, musters up enough courage to do what many have tried to do and never succeeded, and reached the top of the mountain. I want you to listen to his own testimony in this video as Eric climbed the mountain.
Imagine you can't see, and you're trying to ride an avalanche of water. And you're trying to bust through that totally chaotic environment just by the sound of your guide's voice, by the sound of the river, and by what you're feeling under your boat. My name is Eric Weinmayer. My freshman year in high school, I went blind from a rare eye disease. Since then, I've gotten to climb some tall mountains around the world, rock and ice climb. I've even solo skydived, but blind kayaking is the scariest thing I've ever done.
It's one thing, as you know, to create a vision. That word gets thrown around quite a bit. It's another thing entirely to believe in it so strongly that you're able to summon up the courage and the discipline and the focus to live within its framework.
I have struggled throughout my life to define how to live a no barriers kind of life. See, I think people thought you had to see to kayak or to climb frozen waterfalls. But I think the most exciting, and I'll admit, the most torturous aspect of life is when we become a pioneer and we reach out beyond convention and we discover those unexpected ways between what others maybe see as impossible, improbable, unlikely, or what we believe in our hearts to be fully possible.
You know, sometimes when you hit a barrier, it's just a matter of having an open mind and the courage to try something new.
You know, Eric talks about the courage to try something brand new, something where you have to listen well. And as I said this morning, I know that we have some new things that we're trying to do around here. And what I'm asking you to do is just to have the courage to try something brand new. It may be that's the very thing that's going to get you to the mountaintop where you've experienced God like you've never, ever experienced Him before. I have found in my Christian life, and I'm sure that you can agree, is that when it comes to the peerless journeys of life, having the courage and having the courage to change and to listen well, it makes all the difference in the world, does it not? Listening well to your peers around you, listening well to good advice and good wisdom, it's going to help us to get to the top where God wants us to be. And that's exactly what James is talking about here tonight in chapter number 1. He's talking about listening well, having the courage to listen to what the Word of God has to say so that you and I can be an overcomer each and every day of our lives. You've got the outward trials of life, you've got the inward temptations of life, and just a surface experience with God is not enough. You need to have a day-to-day, everyday interaction with the Word of God and the wisdom of God in your life if you're going to be all that God has called you to be. If you believe that, say amen. So let me give you just a few observations about chapter number 1 before we dive into the text tonight. First of all, what James is going to tell us is imperative truth. In verse number 19, he says, wherefore. In verse 19, he's telling us, listen up. I've got something that I need to say. I've got something that you need to hear. So James is saying this is imperative truth. Not only is it imperative truth, he says in verse number 19, it is family truth. He says, beloved brethren, he is writing to believers. Chapter number one is addressed to me, and chapter one is addressed to you, those of us that call upon the Lord. Look at verse 19 again. It's not only imperative truth and family truth, but it's personal truth. Notice verse 19. He says, every man. This is to all of us. What he has to say in chapter one applies to every single individual that is saved by the grace of Christ. Not only is it imperative and family and personal, but also it is logical truth. He says to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Swift to hear. This is logical truth. What James is going to show you is this. He's going to show you how you ought to prepare your heart first before you receive the word of God. You see, a lot of times we come into the house of God and we just say, well, preacher, bless me if you can. We got preconceived ideas, preconceived notions about how the service is going to go, and we've made no preparation during the week to receive the word of God. What James is going to say is that you need to prepare yourself first before you come into the house of God. It does, you know, we really got it backwards. We preach the word of God, then we give the invitation. Really and truly, the invitation should be first, because you got to clean your heart up, clean your life up as a child of God, to even hear and to receive what the word of God has to say. And so James says, before you come into church, before you hear the man of God preach, before you come into Sunday school, make sure that you are cleaning your life up first so you can be ready to receive the word. Now that you've received it, act upon it and live it out in faith and obedience. So very quickly tonight, and I know they're out there cooking and they're waiting on us. We got a great meal in store, but before we eat that physical food, let's go ahead and get next to the table of grace and let's eat some spiritual food tonight. We all agree with that? Say amen. Let me give you tonight just a few prerequisites for listening well. How is it, preacher, that I can maximize my time, my experience under the authority of the word of God? How do I prepare myself? First of all, we got three steps. Here's step number one, the preparation of your life. The preparation of your life. Look at verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. When I read verse 19, I find that James is not so much concerned about what we need to do. James is concerned about what we need to be. God is calling us to a certain lifestyle. James is not focusing on the task, which there are many tasks that we have to do as believers. He's focusing on what we ought to be. We ought to be good hearers. We ought to be good listeners. We ought to prepare our heart and our life. And so basically, he gives us four clear distinctives that's going to help me and help you to be prepared to listen to the word of God. If you're mopping up what I'm spilling, say amen, all right? Here's number one. Write this down. Clarifying your attention. You want to maximize your time in the word of God? You really want to hear the word of God? Then you've got to clarify your attention. The verse 19 says, you need to be swift to hear. Swift to hear. What James is saying is that we must have an open ear. We've got to be a clear listener. He is calling upon every believer to seize every opportunity they can to maximize their time under the authority of the preaching of the word of God. Let me just say this. In fact, I really believe this. I believe clear evidence of a person being born again is that they have a desire to hear the word of God. I believe that. If you tell me you're saved, then you need to love preaching. If you tell me you're a born-again believer, you need to love the teaching of the word of God. The church can't be built on singing. It can't be built on activities or ministries alone. The church has to be built upon the preaching of the word of God. If you believe that, say amen. I believe to be a Christian, you ought to fall in love with the word of God. It's something that's natural for us. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter number 5 that we ought to hunger and thirst after righteousness. He used two natural things that all of us have. We all of us have a hunger and all of us have a thirst. Spiritually speaking, all of us that are saved should have a hunger for the word of God. It ought to be natural for you to crave the teaching of the word of God. You ought to be thirsty for the word of God. And so what James is saying, I want you to be swift to hear. You're going to have to be clarifying your attention. You have got to focus, because when the Christian wants to be blessed, he searches the word of God. And he reads about thanksgiving, and he begins to worship the Lord. When a Christian finds trouble, he goes to the Word of God, and he reads about how God comforts us, and we worship the Lord. When a believer is confused, he searches the Word of God again for wisdom, and then he can begin to worship the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, for faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now, if you want your faith to increase, you need to listen. Faith comes by what? Hearing. So the more you're in the house of God, the more you avail yourself to preaching and teaching, the more you hear it, the greater your faith is going to increase. You know, not only should you hear it here in the church, but you know, there's some great radio preachers out there that I would recommend for you to listen to. I love Dr. David Jeremiah. I love Dr. Adrian Rogers. I love listening to Dr. Stanley. I love Chuck Swindoll. These men do an outstanding job preaching and teaching the Word. And there's some great individuals out there on radio and certain apps that are out there that will challenge you and encourage your heart. I was telling Jake a few weeks ago, I believe I gave him James Merritt's app and David Jeremiah's app. And I said, Jake, as you're going down the road and you're listening, working during the day, maybe you can turn some of this on and listen to some great preaching along the way. And so it's important for us to avail ourselves to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Why? The Bible says, my faith will actually grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Now, we live in a culture today that don't want to hear the Word of God. I really believe that we are living in the days that Paul spoke of when he warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. He said these words, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Now, the word sound doctrine there means healthy teaching. There's coming a time that even in the church house, there are individuals that will not endure sound doctrine. "But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Basically, individuals that will tell you what you want to hear. Yes, men. Men that won't preach on sin. Men that will not preach on hell. Men that won't preach on disobedience. Men that will not preach on a corrupt lifestyle. They basically get up with fluff and puff and with a cotton candy theology, and they tell you what you want to hear, make you feel all good and fuzzy inside, tell you to grab your neighbor's hand, sing kumbaya, and we're all going to heaven. It's going to be great. I want you to know there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. There is a sin to preach against. There is a corrupt, immoral lifestyle to preach against. And what we see today in our churches all across America is we see a compromise in the house of God where people are watering down the Word of God. There is no healthy teaching or healthy doctrine in the Word of God. We basically want to hear what we want to hear. It's all humanism and it's not doctrine. God help us. We need a revival. Somebody say amen. And so he says there's going to come a time they're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Cracks me up that a lot of these guys that are out there preaching, all their preaching consists of is story after story after story after story after story after story. Listen, that story is not going to get anybody saved. It is the Word of God that's going to get somebody saved. It is the exposition of the Word of God. So James says, if you really want to prepare your heart to hear what God has to say, you've got to focus. You have to be swift to hear, clarifying your attention. Verse 19, he says, not only clarifying your attention, but here's another essential. You've got to be engaged in controlling your tongue. He says in verse number 19, you need to be slow to speak. Now, you will never hear if you are constantly speaking. You're never going to hear the preacher. You're never going to hear what God has to say in the service if you're constantly talking to yourself. In your mind, you're carrying on this conversation. You've got this preconceived notion what you're going to listen to, what you're going to turn down, what you're going to turn off, and all of a sudden, you find yourself not hearing. Let me tell you this. Time spent in silence is time well invested. When you just sit in the house of God and you quiet yourself, or in the Sunday school class, and you quiet yourself a little while to listen to what the Word of God has to say. You know, there was a famous Roman orator, and he had a student come to him one time, and he said, I want to be trained in public speaking. I want you to teach me how to be a great public orator. And the guy, and the kid just kept on talking and kept on talking, and the teacher was never able to get a word in edgewise. And finally, the teacher had to interrupt the young man, and he said, sir, he said, I'll be glad to teach you. He said, but I'm going to have to charge you double. Why? The student said. He said, first, I'm going to teach you how to hold your tongue. Second, I'm going to teach you how to use it. Amen. You know, and I was thinking today, maybe we ought to be saying, Lord, I want you to teach me how to hold my tongue and also teach me how to use it. We might be great at speaking and using our tongue, but are we good at holding our tongue, refraining from speaking so that we are able to hear? James says, if you want to prepare your life, number one, got to clarify your attention. You've got to be swift to hear. Second of all, you've got to control your tongue. Be slow to speak. Verse number 20, he says, you got to contain your temper. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now watch how this flows. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I personally believe that James is talking to individuals who is angry because the preacher or the teacher has confronted their sinful life. He has said something out loud. He has stirred up their backyard garbage, huh? He's turned the light on and exposed something, and all of a sudden, they are simmering in the pew. I want you to know, friend, it happens many, many times. The man of God starts to preach, and you know, he thinks, you think, well, David's read my mail. You know, somebody said something about him, and you're just sitting there boiling on the inside when I'm telling you the truth. When I'm saying what the Word of God has to say, it reminds me of what Paul said to the book of Galatians. He said this. He said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I become your enemy because what I'm telling you actually comes from the Word of God? It stems from the principles and the precepts of the Word of God? So James says, listen, if you really want to maximize your time, if you really want to come underneath the authority of the Word of God, you've got to prepare your life. You've got to have a clarifying of your attention. You've got to focus, swift to hear. You've got to control your tongue. You cannot hear while you are speaking. And you've got to control your temper. Don't get mad at God. Get mad at the Bible. Get mad at the man of God because he's telling you what the Scripture has to say. Last of all, he says, you got to clean up your life. Look at verse number 20 or 21. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Now, if a person's moral life is out of control, that is his tongue and his temper that James talks about, if your temper and your tongue's out of control, then you're going to be hard-pressed to hear the Word of God and what God has to say to you. You see the word there, superfluity? That word superfluity there actually means above measure or overflowing. It's an old King James language word. We don't use it much today, but it basically means overflowing. And I believe that you'll agree with me on this, that every day of my life and your life, there is an abundance of sin like a raging river rushing towards my life through the media, through social media, through the internet, magazines, the news network, television, cable television. There is all sorts of things that makes me dirty on the outside because it is rushing toward me. And you just can't even seem to step out of the way. It's bombarding us each and every day. There is this superfluity of naughtiness that is headed your way. And so every day, you need to be cleaning your life up. Every day, you need to spend time in prayer. Every day, you need to go to the Word of God and ask God to help you. Somebody say amen. Now here's what's interesting about this text. He uses the word filthiness. The word filthiness, in its Greek context, it was an extra-biblical language word. And it was one in extra-biblical language that they used as a medical term, check this out, for earwax. And so when he writes, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. That word in extra-biblical language was a medical term talking about earwax buildup. And so what James is basically telling us here by using that word, he is saying that in order for me to hear the word of God, I got to make sure that my spiritual ears are clean. My spiritual ears are open. My spiritual life is ready to hear the word of God. And so he says, clean up your life. That's step one, preparation of our life. Let me give you the second step. Not only preparation of your life, but also examination of your life. Not only are you to prepare yourself by clarifying your attention, controlling your tongue, containing your temper, cleaning up your life, if you're going to hear the word of God, but then there is this examination of my life. In verse 21 to verse 25, he says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Remember filthiness, the earwax. Got to open up the ears and let them hear. Superfluity of naughtiness. And, three words, receive meekness engrafted. He said, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So after you've clarified your attention, you got your tongue right, you got your anger right, you got your life cleaned up, now you are ready to receive the word of God. Do you see how this works? A lot of times we preach first, then we give the invitation. James would say, give the invitation first, then preach next. Because when people's hearts are ready and their minds are ready, they're going to hear what the word of God has to say. So he said, after your life is all cleaned up, he says, receive in verse number 21. Basically, the word receive there means to welcome. You are to welcome the word of God. The word of God is like an old friend. It is welcome anytime into the door of your heart. Anytime the word of God is preached, anywhere it is preached, by anybody whom it's preached by, it should be welcomed. It should be desired. It's like an old friend that you love and yet you welcome it every time it comes by. We're to receive the word of God, and the Bible says, listen, with meekness. That is, I am to come underneath the authority of the word of God with humility. I am to enter into the church house with a teachable spirit. That I'm saying, Lord, I want you to expose me. Lord, I want you to show me. Lord, I want you to show me all the warts that I have in my life. I want you to expose them all and let me lay them down at the altar and confess them to you. Lord, I want to receive your word humbly with a teachable spirit. Let me ask you, do you have a teachable spirit? Do you have a teachable spirit? Are you one that you can listen and say, you know what, we're going to look at that. We're going to engage in that. We're going to try to see what can happen. Let me generate some ideas to see how I can help enhance that, how I can make it better. Do you have a teachable spirit? That's what the word here is. The Bible says we are to receive it with meekness. I'm to be teachable. Regardless of who is preaching and teaching, you ought to receive God's word as his spoken word. Let me say that again. Regardless of who is preaching the word, you ought to receive the word. Shame on you if you walk out on the man of God. Shame on you if you come in here, and especially you're a member, and you come in here and then you walk out on a certain individual, a preacher, an evangelist, a teacher, or whoever it may be. You know, they may not be what you consider to be your cup of tea, but I can tell you this, honey, they are God's man, they are God's called man, they are preaching the word of God, and your obligation as a believer, you are to receive the word of God with gladness in your heart, regardless of who is preaching. Amen. It's the word of God. And so the Bible says, I'm going to clean up my life, I'm going to clean up my temper, I'm going to clean up my tongue, I'm going to focus my attention, I'm going to receive it, I'm going to be meek with a teachable spirit, and then he uses this word, engrafted. The word engrafted comes from a word which means a planted seed. And so James sees the heart as a garden, and that the Holy Spirit cultivates the very soil of your heart. And as the word of God is planted into deep inside the human heart, it begins to blossom and to grow for the honor and the glory of Christ. And so James says, here's what you're to do. Once your life is prepared to receive the word, now here's the examination of your heart. You are to receive it with meekness. It's the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Hallelujah. Watch this now. Verse 23. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Well, back up. Let's look at verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, it's great to hear the word of God, but you got to go a little further than that, right? We just can't listen to it and hear it. We've got to act upon it. Somebody say amen. So the Bible says, listen to this. It says, be ye doers of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. Now this is what I like. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Two things. He talks about a forgetful hearer and a faithful doer. A forgetful hearer and a faithful doer. And the illustration that he gives is of a person who is shaving. Now, he's going to kill me for saying this, but when we were on vacation, we were all getting ready to go out to dinner. And we're all getting ready, and Jake ran into the room, and he's going to take his time, you know, getting dressed, and he's going to go in there and shave before we all go out to dinner. Well, while he's shaving, he got distracted. And when he got distracted, he forgot that he was shaving. And so when we get to the restaurant, he's sitting there talking to me, and he's carrying on the most serious conversation that Jake has had with me thus far. He was all dressed up, and he's looking at me, you know, as a mature adult, married man now, and he's saying, Dad, you know what? And he's talking to me, and I was just looking at him, and half his face is shaved. And I didn't have the heart to say nothing, you know? And so he's looking at me with all sincerity, you know, and I said, Jake, how can I take you serious when half your face is shaved? He was like, what? You know, you forgot to shave the other half of your face. And so he was a half-shaved man. What happened, all right? What happened to him? He's shaving. He's looking into the mirror. He got distracted, walked away from the mirror, and forgot what manner of man he was. Half-shaved. And he went out in public that way. Well, here's the illustration. When you and I are looking into the Word of God is like the mirror that Jake was shaving in. You've got to spend time in the Word of God. Because if you don't spend time in the Word of God and you get distracted by other people, you get distracted by circumstances, you'll do the same thing he did. You will walk away from the Bible by being distracted, and you're going to forget what manner of man you were when you were looking into the Word of God. So while you're looking into the pages of the Word of God, deal with what's in front of you. If God's talking about your sin, deal with your sin. If God's talking about your apathy, deal with your apathy. If God's talking about your courage, your slothfulness, your faithfulness, stay in the mirror. Deal with what you need to deal with while you're looking into the perfect law of liberty. God does not want you to be a forgetful hearer. He wants you to be a faithful doer. If you believe it, say amen. All right, so Jake did shave tonight so we can all have a conversation with him and not laugh later, all right? Look at verse 26 and verse number 27. Here's step number three. Here's the application of our life. Look at verse 26. The Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, it's important to become a good listener of the word, but listening by the word by itself is really of no lasting value if you don't act upon the word of God. Hopefully I said that right. Listening to the word of God is great, but just listening alone really has no lasting value if you don't act upon what you are listening to. If you believe that, say amen. And this is what James is saying here in the verse. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Luke chapter 11, verse number 28, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You know, when I was writing this verse down in my notes here, I try to put my scripture within my notes so I don't have to bore you by looking it up all the time. And I noticed right before I came out here with my chubby fingers, sometimes I'll misspell things, and I actually typed Luke 11, verse 28, and I typed it this way: blessed are they that heed the word of God and keep it. And I looked at that before I came out here, and it's supposed to be the word here, and I thought, well, you know what? We ought to be heeding the word of God. We ought to be cooking up the soup. Somebody say amen. We ought to be serving a meal. Do you know the word of God is like a fresh meal to you and I? Blessed is he that hears the word of God and he keeps it. And so James talks about the application of our life. Not only am I to hear the word of God, I am to apply the word of God to my life. And so in verse 26 and verse 27, James concludes the section by giving three tests to spiritual behavior. Write them down. Number one, the test of self-control. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. The test of self-control. If you can't control your tongue and your mouth, if you cannot control what you're going to say and how you're going to behave, how can you tell the world that you are a born-again child of God and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you if you do not exercise self-control? James says this individual deceives himself. Not only the test of self-control, but then there's the test of spiritual compassion. In verse number 27, he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. You want to know if somebody's actually a child of God? Watch how they spread the compassion. Watch how they spread the love. Watch how they decide to be on mission with God. Look at their checkbook and see where their money goes. Look what they do for God. Look how busy they are in the things of God. If we're going to be what God has called us to be, we've got to be on mission with God. If you believe that, say amen. This is the test of being a child of God. If you're going to be a hearer, fine. But if you're going to be a hearer and a doer, then you've got to have self-control and you've got to have spiritual compassion. You've got to be willing to minister to those who are widows, to minister to those who are orphans, to minister to those who are underprivileged in our world. It ought to be important to us. That's what pure religion is. Pure religion is not that we have three songs and a sermon. Pure religion is not that we are in a building with nice carpet and a beautiful sound system. Pure religion in the eyes of God is when God's people, they're not just a hearer, but they're taking those words and putting it into action. And they're compassionate, and they're showing their compassion each and every day, being a mentor in a school, taking care of our widows, making sure our missionaries are being paid every single month, making sure that money is there, taking care of our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. That's what it means to be on mission with God. Self-control, verse 26. Spiritual compassion is the other test, but it doesn't stop there. There's the test of social corruption. Look at verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Watch this. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. What am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about listening well. If you want to maximize your potential of understanding and hearing the word of God every time you come into God's house, you've got to prepare yourself before you get here. Now, I know there are times that God does mysterious things and miraculous things within the house of God. I know there could be people in here, they're backslid, and you know their life is far away from the Lord, and God does something great and amazing in their life. They come to the altar, they lay their burdens down, and God changes and transforms their life. I understand that. But that's the exception and not the rule for the child of God. Your job as a believer is to prepare yourself before you get here. Your life is clean. Your tongue is right. Your temperament is in the right manner. You've come in here with a spirit of expectancy that God's going to do something. You now are ready to receive the word of God. And let me tell you, when you come into the house of God like that and you receive it, you are eager to get out there and tell somebody else that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. If you believe that, say amen. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for James chapter number 1. Lord, it tells us not just to be a hearer, Lord, but be a doer, actively involved in being on mission with you. So, Father, I pray tonight as we do that with our widows tonight, we honor them, we celebrate, Lord, their life, their legacy. Lord, we want to love on them. Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity that you have given us, Lord, to be friends with them, to bear burdens with them, to pray with them, Lord, to honor them tonight. Lord, we want to show that we are not just hearers, but we are doers. And so, Father, I pray that as we go out to the dinner tonight, may the love that we share with one another, Lord, be lifted up towards you. I pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. I pray, God, that you would give us spiritual ears to hear. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to spend time in the mirror of your word. Help us, Lord, to examine what sort of person we have become. Help us to stay there, spend time there, not be distracted, not walk away, but Lord, deal with what we have to deal with as you begin to speak to us. May we ever be mindful of the Spirit of God's work within our lives. May we humble ourselves before you with a teachable spirit, and we will thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. My heads are bowed.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.